Welcome.
We're going. Okay. Yeah. I have the Paradise Jam blasting through my headphones right now that I'm not wearing. You can't see that I'm wearing headphones. All right, Chad. Let's go ahead and start the show now.
All right. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Hoops HD report with an under-the-radar cast, it looks like. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by a very small Thanksgiving week panel of David Griggs and John Stalica. Hoops HD report, where we go over all the news revolving the major normal multi-bid conferences.
Yes, we do.
We don't talk under the radar, even though this is our under-the-radar panel. We'll do that later.
Right. A little bit of a swap, but I am ready. Chad, are you fired up? I am fired up.
I am absolutely fired up. David, right yes. Before we came on here, we got to watch the first semifinal in the Roman Legends Classic. Got to see Richmond knock off Wisconsin. They're getting ready for their championship game tomorrow against Julius Caesar.
Yes, they are.
Greatest Roman legend of all time.
Yeah, Caesar's last season did not end well, but I am fired up.
Big upset by Brutus there. Right?
Yeah. It is 9:10 in the evening, and David G. Puppet is fired up over a Gazelle Group event.
Yes, and then how about this guy? This guy is fired up. This is Wild Bill. His team is undefeated. We are fired up.
Actually, I was out most of the day today, although I did check the scores when I got back in. I see, as everybody predicted, Georgia and Michigan State are going to be meeting tomorrow in the second round of the Maui Invitational, so no upsets today.
That's basically what happened. It was what a lot of people were predicting. Dayton, a good team, but, you know, a little bit of experience there. Georgia, a lot of young players, but again, they will be facing Michigan State tomorrow, as many were expecting.
In the consolation bracket. Let's get
in the consolation bracket.
Some standings here in the Big Ten. Let's start off with the upset of the day, upset of the week in the Big Ten. Maybe nationally even. It happened out in Maui today, where Virginia Tech just kind of manhandled Michigan State. The Spartans apparently tried to make a run late in the game to get back in it.
Yeah.
But it completely fell in their face. Cassius Winston was awful from what I read.
He was. Let's give a lot of credit here to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech led the whole way. Now, it was close the whole way, but Virginia Tech was pretty much in the lead for the entire game, anywhere between, you know, 1 and 6 and 7 points. And every time it looked like Michigan State had momentum going their way, Virginia Tech curtailed it. And this was a team that just, I mean, the cupboard was just picked clean. They lost all 5 starters from last year's Sweet 16 team. They lost their coach. No one really thought that they would be above 14th, 13th place in the ACC. Now, Chad and John, all of a sudden, here they are 6-0, a win at Clemson, and a neutral floor win against Michigan State. That's top 25 caliber performance right there, not just today, but all year long. What's going on here? And is Mike White the coach of the year?
Well, whoever cleaned out the cupboard forgot to clean out Landers Nolly.
Mike Young. Mike White's the Florida coach. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Stalica.
Yeah, I was going to say, Landers Nolly, he was a redshirt freshman, still recruited by Buzz Williams. So I wouldn't say it was completely bare down in Blacksburg, but certainly we didn't expect the Hokies to be this good this soon.
Yeah.
Well, let me put those ACC standings on the screen here also. We look at the Big East – oh, sorry, the Big Ten. Let's look over the ACC here. So we can see that Virginia Tech team there, 6-0, tied with Louisville and Virginia. Better than – I guess tied with Duke also, but better than a lot of teams that were supposed to be a lot better than them this year. And, and we've got to look way down here, but there it is, that win. And then, and then Pitt tonight going out also, Sleeka beating Kansas State, another huge upset, another huge win for Pitt. He's already beaten Florida State, and now is a win over K-State as well.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is a game that Kansas State shouldn't have had any business losing, not when you finish. I think it was 3-for-12 from the foul line, but Pitt, to their credit, they were hitting at a 15-for-18 clip despite – turning the ball over a lot against the Wildcats, but good job for Pittsburgh managing to steal at least one victory down in Fort Myers.
And David, I think we got to talk a little bit about Virginia also, what they did, winning the Hall of Fame tip-off classic over the weekend, but not exactly dominant against Arizona State by any means. They really could have lost that game.
Yeah, they could have. Again, really smothering defense, although Arizona State did go on a run after falling behind. That's something that you normally don't see against a Virginia team. Normally when they get ahead, they stay ahead, and they just sort of like sandbag you. I mean, they just take everything out of you. But, you know, they were still unbeaten. They still did get the win. I mean, they win ugly a lot of the times, but the key word is that they win. And they've been, you know, all the way through the ACC and NCAA tournaments last year. This is just a team that's continued to go on a fantastic run. And it hasn't been bye games, like you said. Like you know, they won their conference opener at Syracuse. They have a win against Arizona State away from home. This is a team that not only are they winning, but they're putting together a pretty good profile, even if they're not winning impressively or pretty.
Yeah, and the ACC as a whole so far, 8 losses outside of the outside of conference play. I mean, there's more loss of that, but only 8 non-conference losses and a 15-team conference. A very good start for the conference overall. Yeah. And you can see there they do have 4 teams ranked in the top 10, but nobody else in the top 25. And you know, are we going to? That may be changing here, though. I mean, I think, you know, Virginia Tech, especially if they can pick up one more win out of here in Maui, could be sniffing the top 25 with that win today.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Louisville just for a second, because they're the second-ranked team in the country.
Second-ranked in the conference. So
yeah. Have they looked it to you? I mean, I know that they won at Miami, and they've played a couple of bye games, but you know, losing in the second half to, was it Eastern Shore?
Akron. They only won by six.
Upstate. Akron, not a bad team, but still, you would expect the second ranked team in the country to not have that much trouble with them at home. Is this Louisville team? And I know that we were huge on them all through the preseason. Maybe they'll get to be the second ranked team. They don't look it to me yet.
Well, if there's a time of year you want to be playing with matches, you don't want to be doing that during ACC play, and you're definitely going to get burned.
Yeah, their next game is a couple Friday against Western Kentucky as part of their exempt event. So I don't think that's an exempt event. I think it's just maybe
a just game. But
they are playing Western Kentucky coming up here on Friday. Louisville versus Kentucky, that's a – oh, we're on Kentucky. But, you know, Western Kentucky – disappointing fifth place finish. We'll talk about them on the End of the Radar show, but really
that's going to be a game that's played down in Nashville, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Down in Nashville. Nashville. If you're out in Nashville, you're looking for something to do, head to that game. I think that could be a fun one, actually.
Yeah. Louisville's kind of dominated that series, but it's back. I think this is a one-off. They had an 8-year deal or a 10-year deal. Louisville was not interested in continuing it initially, but they, I don't know if this is a one-off or if it's part of a series.
Let's take a quick – I'm going to hop back. We looked at the Big Ten for a moment here. I want to kind of talk about the rest of the Big Ten before we go into some of the other leagues here. We did not really discuss it yet, though, but the Wisconsin with the loss tonight to Richmond in that first round of the Roman Legends Classic. We do have a handful of undefeated teams here still at the top, including Ohio State, who picked up another win tonight, though, David.
Yeah,
dominating over what was looking like a good Kent State team early in the season.
Yeah, Kent State had the game tied with about 10 minutes to go in the second half, and then Ohio State just really hit the gas and ran away from them, looking really good. Indiana, nothing really so far other than bye games, but they've blown through them. I still like this Penn State team, even though they've really played mostly bye games. They did have the really nice win.
They beat Yale by 2. They really struggled with that win.
Yeah, actually. I still like them, though.
That was a game where they were down 11 about, I think, 4 or 5 minutes to play before the Nittany Lions made a closing run.
Yeah, but top of this league. But Ohio State, granted, they haven't really played away from home yet, but certainly looking the part so far.
They have that Morgan State team coming up on Friday, who may be the best team in the MEAC, but is they're going to dominate that one, I think. But
that campus is going to be jacked for that game.
Not on the screen yet, but it did just go final. Nebraska did pick up a win over a power conference school tonight, beating Washington State in their exempt event. So congrats to Nebraska. I don't know where that came from.
Right. If there's anything that should not be worthy of being called classic or challenge or anything, it's a Wazoo Nebraska game.
All right. John, let's talk a little Big 12 hoops. How about that?
We'll go ahead and start with Baylor then, who actually won down in Myrtle Beach beating Villanova yesterday.
Yeah, huge win for Baylor, winning that entire event.
And besides Villanova, they also get wins against OU and a Coastal Carolina team that actually blew away Utah.
Yeah, and we also see here, we had the K-State loss today. We already talked about also, kind of surprising on Thursday night, David, that Georgetown went over Texas, the way Georgetown just manhandled this Texas team that we kind of liked.
Yeah, it was kind of shocking and a real coming out party for Georgetown. We'll talk more about that when we get to the Big East. But is this was a schizophrenic Texas team a year ago. I mean, they had wins as high as beating North Carolina on a neutral floor, amongst others, and then losing not just one but multiple bye games. Are we seeing that again, or did they just run into a Georgetown team that really found itself and that's going to be good the rest of the year? I don't know.
Well, I like the Georgetown team coming into the season, so you know where I stand on that question.
Yeah.
Let's take a look as we record this right now. We're recording it around left 9 p.m. on Monday night, so Kansas Chaminade going on right now. Oklahoma Stanford, I think, is coming up later tonight as well as part of the Hall of Fame Classic. Other games coming up this week, Oklahoma State, Syracuse, West Virginia hosting Rhode Island, Texas Tech and Iowa, Iowa State, Michigan. How about a little Big East? I think we hinted about Georgetown. Why don't we talk about them a little more?
Okay, well, let's talk about Georgetown. Again, what they did to Texas, and this is after they sort of had to limp through a couple of bye games and hadn't really looked as good as, well, you thought they were going to be and that a lot of us thought they were going to be. They were that good all throughout this event. I know they didn't get by Duke, but I was impressed with the game against Duke, even though they lost it. I don't know what the two of you thought. And I was.
They were. Yeah. I was very impressed by Georgetown. I mean, that was the number one team of the nation. You're not expecting them to win on the number one team's home court there in
But like, none of us thought that they were as good as the number one team in the nation. But I think that they did show that they're as good as we thought they were. This is a top 25 caliber Georgia team, Georgetown team. I know the polls are out. I don't look at them, believe it or not. Did they get in? But whether they did or they didn't, they're going to be in them soon enough.
No,
Georgetown got some votes in the AP poll, but that was it.
Yeah, you should see there. They're in 42nd place in the AP. They didn't get any coaches' place. Also getting 42 votes in the coaches poll, not the AP, 42nd place, though. Salika, should we talk about the elephant in the room and the undefeated DePaul Blue Demons?
We're going to have to after they actually got another roadkill at Boston College last Saturday. And if you look at their upcoming schedule, they get a very winnable game at home against Central Michigan, and they also go to Minnesota on Friday, so... could they actually be getting more top 25 consideration should that come to fruition?
Well, they're right up there at the top. The only other undefeated team is Butler, picked up a win against Missouri. I think their opponent for tomorrow is not – we don't know who that's
going to be. It's either going to be Oklahoma
or Stanford or tomorrow.
Yeah. And let's talk about this Butler team. This was none of us really big on them, and understandably so, that they didn't have a lot of depth or they didn't appear to. I think they were down to 6 scholarship players at one point during the season. And then in the midst of that, 2 more players got hurt, but they're starting to get healthy again, and they look really good. I, for one, am as impressed with them as I am with anyone else in this conference. I mean, and I'm really surprised. I mean, this conference and a lot of other ones is sort of upside down right now with Butler and DePaul looking as good or better than everyone else in the league.
I'd agree with you. So some interesting games coming up. Also, DePaul road trip to Minnesota come Friday night, and Georgetown hosting UNC Greensboro on Saturday. A very good Greensboro team.
Yeah.
Very dangerous game there for Georgetown.
Right.
How about a little SEC hoops here? One game that is not going to be on the screen here as a final yet, just one final as we're recording this. Arkansas picked up an overtime road win at Georgia Tech, is now 6-0 with the best record in the conference.
Banked in a 3 at the buzzer to win the game.
Yeah, you know, it's a typical Arkansas win, right?
Yeah.
It's a time to pay attention to them. They got a little love in both of the polls, and now 6-0. Picked up a very nice win against the South Dakota team that had been looking good, too, earlier this week.
Yeah, blasted them. And this was a South Dakota team, the Yotes, if you don't watch Under the Radar or don't know who the Yotes are, that had been playing really well. I mean, not that you're surprised that Arkansas beat them, but they just, like, you know, pile drove them home. Some other teams in this league, LSU kind of struggling a little bit.
Yeah, it was actually a good game Friday night against Utah State, but Utah State picked up the huge win in that game.
Yeah, come from behind win, Utah State. I can't get it up because we can't screen share. We'll talk about that when we get to the Mountain West. We have that individual that was very excited about that win
today. Okay, all right, we'll talk about Utah State in a few minutes here. But Sleek, anybody else that's really blown you away? I'll tell you my thought is the biggest thing I've gotten here. Kentucky still. Not looking like we think Kentucky is going to look. They seem to have been struggling. They're letting teams hang around for at least a half of the Mount St. Mary's game. I think Mount St. Mary's was in that game for a while. It's just they're not blowing teams away that they should be blowing away.
Well, Kentucky has a bad habit of playing with their food or at least playing down the level of their competition. But another team that finally got their wake-up call this weekend down in Charleston Florida Gators.
Yeah, that's a team I want to discuss. Go ahead. Huge win over your Xavier Musketeers.
That was one huge win, and then after they kind of slept walk against St. Joe's, where Kerry Blackshear actually got a flagrant two and missed most of the game because he was ejected, they blew out Miami in the game on Friday that followed about 24 hours later, but that probably said more about Miami because UConn also blew the Hurricanes away. But against Xavier, they were the first team all year that was able to really hit not just over 50%, but over 60% against a very stout Xavier defense for most of that game, but managed to hang on despite Xavier cutting a 17-point deficit down to 3 in the closing seconds, but a potential tying shot just bounced out of the rim and Florida hung on.
Yeah, and I think, is Florida awake now after sort of sleepwalking through their first three or four games?
I think that they may now be awake. See, they've already got two losses on the season, but it's definitely early enough for them. They're still in the top 25 polls. And
or back I think in the top 25.
Or they're back in the top 25, if you want to put it that way, yeah. Also, you know, just as a note here, Auburn and Tennessee both undefeated as well. Tennessee with an interesting test coming up on Friday against Florida State.
That's going to be a good one. That's going to be a real good one. Tennessee, once again, playing a little bit better than I think a lot of us thought they would.
That's going to be more or less a de facto road game because that's part of the Emerald Coast Classic against the Seminoles.
Mm-hmm. Right. Pac-12, we were raving about this league last week, about what a wonderful job it has been doing, how much better it was last year. They're not losing the stupid games. And what do we see here? All that red. Losses by this conference this week to Hofstra, Coastal Carolina, Omaha, Tulane. This is back to what – this is. The Pac-12 is kind of regressing to where it was last year after a great first couple of weeks of the season, unfortunately.
Yeah, Utah, a team that we let ourselves get a little bit excited about, just went down to Myrtle Beach and blew. Coastal Carolina, nothing against Cliff Ellis and the team he's got. They had no business, even on their home court, drubbing Utah like that.
No, that is disgusting.
Yeah, and then for Utah to follow that up with they lost another game.
To Tulane.
And we'll talk about Tulane in a little bit. They're kind of a unique story. But, I mean, kind of a real just disappointing showing all the way around in all three games, even the one they won for Utah.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, though, John. When you look at the win column for this conference, they didn't pick up any wins of note for the entire league this week. There's nothing there that I say, oh, that was a great win. I mean, maybe Oregon's home win over Houston, but that's not too exciting.
I would say Arizona State beating St. John's may be about as close as they're going to get, but the Sun Devils, they actually had a respectable weekend if you look at how they played against Virginia. But
they lost that game, yeah. But they were close. Yeah, you're right.
Yep, and as Chad is fond of saying, go pick up your silver medals.
Go pick up your silver medals, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the American, though. And let me pick up the next week's schedule here on the Pac-12. Again, when we look at these upcoming schedules, they're only including games that are scheduled already. So there's going to be additional games as part of these exempt events. But we've got UCLA actually coming up tonight in the late game out in Maui against BYU, and we mentioned that Stanford-Oklahoma game as well. But
yeah,
Oregon Seton Hall is actually a huge one on Wednesday.
Yeah, it really is. Oregon, contrary to what we just said, a team that's doing very well in the Pac-12, undefeated, won some big games already of note away from home. So, and they got another big chance against a really good Seton Hall team.
Yeah, we didn't mention it. Arizona is still undefeated, but after looking so good in their first few games, they struggled with somebody, did they not?
With South Dakota State.
South Dakota State on Thursday, yes.
Who is not what they've been the last 2 years. Right. If you don't follow under the radar, I'm sure you've heard of them because they've been good the last 2 years, not so much this year.
No, Mike Dumb is no longer on that team. American Conference, first a quick news and note here. James Wiseman, his request to be reinstated was granted. It will not be until January 12th at the game at Florida.
But have we not been on the air since then? Wow.
No, that came in, I believe, last Tuesday. So it was right after we did our last Hoops HD report. But, yes,
case you're living under a rock and we are the only people you get any news from whatsoever, it's a 12-game suspension, including the two that he had already served. We'll be back on January 12th. And I don't know how you all feel about this. Memphis is ranting and raving about how they got screwed over.
They got damn lucky.
Yeah, they got lucky. I'm more along the lines of that. Now, I think it is the right decision because to ban him for the year, while it is within the scope based on how much money, would have just been wrong by him. You hate to see that the person that was least responsible for this, which was him, get punished that bad while the adults who were the more responsible parties, his parents, his coaches, not get anything. So I'm glad he is going to get to play. They're going to get him back. He'll miss some really big games. He'll miss the Tennessee game, amongst others, but he'll get to play in some big games too. And depending on how good they are, he might get to play through the NCAA tournament.
But I'm sure it was worth it for him to play against Illinois, Chicago in a blowout.
Yeah. And you got to wonder, would they have given him fewer games had they not put him out there initially?
I think it would have been the same number of games, but he probably would have returned to the court a little sooner for the more important part of their schedules, what I was alluding to. Right.
Yeah.
We do have three undefeated teams in this league, SMU, Wichita State, and Temple. SMU, a little bit interesting. I mean, they haven't beat anybody of huge note. They won at Evansville, but Evansville turns out that they suck, and the Kentucky win was a fluke. Right. SMU also picked up a road win this weekend at UNLV, not an easy place to go and win. Kind of keeping half an eye on them so far this season, although I don't think I'm serious about it yet.
I still like this Wichita team. I love the way Temple's playing as well.
Go ahead, and then we got to talk some Tulane after that. But
Okay, yeah, that's where I was going.
Okay.
Well, Houston out to a slow 2-2 start, but the team we need to discuss is who, Chad?
Is the Tulane Green Wave, who have already won more games this season they did all of last season, David.
Yeah. and I realize that their schedule has not been like exactly stacked, but it hasn't been sub 300 RPI by games either. They went and played very well in that tournament.
They beat Utah.
Won another game down there too.
Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, against Middle Tennessee. And Ron Hunter, I don't think they're going to get anywhere close to the NCAA or NIT this year, but they are noticeably better, and I think that he's going to get them there. This guy can flat-out coach. He coached very well at IUPUI. He did exceptionally well at Georgia State. They were crazy to not make more of an effort to hold on to him, and I think he's going to get Tulane going. I really do. I really am a fan of his.
Stalika, let me bring up one other team here. That's the UConn Huskies. They picked up a win over Buffalo. They picked up the blowout win over Miami. And they played a hell of a game against your Xavier Musketeers, even though they lost it in, was it two overtimes?
It was two overtimes. And it was more or less a preview of what we can expect to see next year, where UConn finally showed some enthusiasm, at least as far as their fan base. And you look at guys like Al-Tariq Gilbert and Christian Vital, I suppose to a lesser extent, who was their Carlton, one of their post players that actually had a decent game but ended up fouling out. But UConn, for 10 minutes in the second half, they looked pretty explosive on the defensive end. And seemed to speed up Xavier more than the Musketeers would have liked to have played. And I would say both teams probably blew chances both in regulation and in overtime to take that game before Xavier finally took over in double OT.
David, Cincinnati, I think we should also mention this, have been looking so good. And is this a sign that Bowling Green is a good team, is a really good team, or was this just a bad loss on Sunday against Bowling Green at the championship game of their event?
Well, yeah, Cincinnati sweating out Illinois State, needing a shot with 3 seconds to go to beat them, losing in overtime to Bowling Green, who, by the way, is down by 20 to
Nevada.
Nevada right now. Tonight. Now, Nevada, yeah, not a bad team, but yeah. And
they only beat Valpo by 4 today.
Overtime to beat Valpo tonight in a game that Valpo really had a chance to win, arguably should have won at the end of regulation, and another chance at the end of the overtime. Cincinnati is just – I think that there's a lot of things going on here. Of course, they did not look good against Ohio State again, but Ohio State didn't look good against them either. It was a terrible game.
Now, one of the other things that happened against Bowling Green, I think it was Jerron Cumberland that had an ankle injury, and he didn't actually play tonight against Valparaiso. But by the same token, let's not forget he also sat a couple games ago against Alabama A&M because of a coach's decision. But if you look at the Bearcats' upcoming schedule, at home against UNLV, at home against Vermont, and the Crosstown Shootout at Xavier, that's a dangerous stretch for this team right now.
Yeah, they've got to get Cumberland on the court. He's the best player. He may be the best player in the entire conference here.
Yeah. Not having him hurts. Another issue, and we talked about this, was that they're sort of built to play. They're not really built to play the way Brannon likes to play, and it could just be transitional growing pains from the coaching change. I think Brannon is an excellent coach. I hope that their fans recognize what's going on and stay patient with them, but they have not looked the part really at all this year. Like the Paradise Jam – I mean, some decent under-the-radar teams, not exactly a stacked field that you would expect a team like Cincinnati to struggle the way that they did in all three games.
And that's assuming you're able to see the Paradise Jam, which is another topic in itself.
Although I got to say – I got to say, I actually received an email from the people at Flow Hoops apologizing for the streaming errors and the problems in Cincinnati's opening game there. So so thank you for that email, at least, Flow Hoops.
Yeah, and it's not the first time they've had to send emails like that for this event. Love Flow Hoops. They can't seem to – I'm convinced it's the Paradise Jam. It's not Flow.
We do like Flow Hoops, actually. There's the upcoming schedule, which includes Tulsa with South Carolina State at home, trip to Vanderbilt. We could see a 7-1 come out of 6-1 out of Frank Haith's team. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're another team that kind of sneaks in there.
Very seriously,
just because of the powerful record. Tulane has Southern at home. I don't know what else is on the schedule there. How about some A-10 hoops? Couple wins.
How about the A-10? Maybe we should have led with them.
A pretty hit and miss conference here in the past week.
Just a quick note. VCU is actually 6-0 now. They just finished off Alabama State. LaSalle picked a win against Murray State tonight. That's a decent win to get to 2-2. But there's also a lot of losses in this league. Although the top four teams, especially teams like Dayton with the win today, David, I think we got to pay attention to these four teams. Maybe five if you include George Mason.
Okay, I was going to start with Duquesne because I'm just so excited about how improved they are. But we need to start with Dayton looking really, really good. I mean, really good against a really talented Georgia team. And the whole time I'm thinking, man, if they can play like this, what can they do against Michigan State tomorrow? We won't get to see that, but we will get to see them play against a Virginia Tech team that we were praising earlier. I'm actually looking forward to that one tomorrow night an awful lot.
Could they win this event? I mean,
they've done it before.
They got to play Kansas in the championship. But
but this is a Dayton team that has gone out to Maui and beaten – if you look at all the ranked teams Dayton has beaten throughout their history, I bet half of them have been in this event. Maybe they should just move their home court out to Maui. They just play really well out there. And another exception today, but Dayton, I was so impressed with them in their win today, the way they just blew Georgia's doors off. some other teams. How about Richmond tonight getting the win against Whiskey, leading pretty much tipped the buzzer?
Yeah, Richmond, very impressive so far. VCU has been looking very good. Duquesne, you mentioned. George Mason's been looking very good. I think they picked up a win. Let me scroll this down here a little bit. They picked up a win over Old Dominion today.
Yeah, pretty good Old Dominion team. Old CAA rival there. Duquesne, okay, I don't want to – let's put this in the context because everything is relative. This Duquesne team, 6-0, if you look at their upcoming schedule, which I know you have the ability to do the team sheets –
Duquesne. 1 second. Let's go Duquesne.
Yeah. Oh, we haven't done that. I always like making Chad do this because it's just so cool. It's the team sheets.
Okay, there's Duquesne's upcoming schedule. Powerful games against VMI, Columbia, yeah. Radford, Austin Peay, UAB.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about this, maybe not so much on air. What do you think of this approach from a team? This is year three. And let's keep in context what Duquesne was when Keith Dambrot arrived. I mean, they were not even a top 200 team. In year three, here they are, 6-0, getting some hardware and with a very real chance of entering conference play undefeated.
Not only entering conference play undefeated, Dave, but if you look at their conference schedule, they don't have a test until the end of January when they host Dayton. And they don't have a road test until February 22nd at Dayton. I mean, this team could put up an incredible overall record. But if you look at these next upcoming games here, all against garbage, and they already have the 294 strength of schedule, that's not good.
I would not overlook Rhode Island, though.
Yeah, it isn't good if you're – if your goal is to make the NCAA tournament and you're a top 40 caliber team. But I suggest that it is good for a program that's in Duquesne's situation that's trying to get used to winning. I'm all for challenging yourself, but this is a program that hasn't won anything in the last 90 years or something like that.
I would have liked to see one challenge game, two challenge games. I mean, don't tell me that the first road game you're going to play against a top 50 team is going to be February 22nd.
Yeah, but, you know, they go to VCU, they go to Richmond, or they play Richmond.
They go to Dayton, the last four games may be their toughest games of the entire season.
Well, okay, so I know the schedule is bad.
There's a trip to St. Louis there, February 5th.
Are you impressed with the progress? I mean, this was a terrible program. I'm still impressed with the progress.
Oh, no, I think he's done an incredible job, but this better be the last year of scheduling like this.
Yeah, and it needs to be. It really needs to be because they need to jack it up after this.
Some more upcoming games of the A-10 for this week. Again, at least the ones that we know are definitely going to happen. Richmond hosted Boston College on Saturday, John.
They should win
LaSalle, that. LaSalle Villanova, a big five game on Sunday.
And GW being offered as cannon fodder up at Angry Frank's team.
Yeah.
Oh, GW has picked up three wins already, so been a little bit better than we thought they would be.
Yeah.
David, I'm going to turn to the Mountain West. I guess I should pull down the screen share. You want to talk Mountain West? Should I pull it down or?
Oh yeah, let's pull this down and yeah.
Okay, David, you want to give us some Mountain West news?
Shoot.
No.
I guess I can't right now.
All right. Well, John, what are your thoughts about Mountain West? While David works on that, Utah State is now 7-0, one of the best records of the entire nation with their win over in that event, including the finals where they actually struggled against North Texas but picked up the win.
Well, not really a final, so to speak, as much as it was a round robin event.
You're right. It was a round robin event, but they picked up the championship in the Jamaica Classic. You're right.
Yeah, North Texas wasn't easy, but at the end of the day, Utah State does end up with three wins in the hardware. And even Nevada, as we speak right now, probably well on their way to winning the Paradise Jam Invitational.
Yeah, and how about the – I mean, this man was so excited. This is Wild Bill after Utah State winning
David,
the
you
hardware.
Showed us that already, goddammit.
Oh, okay. We love Wild Bill.
But going back to Nevada, though, this is actually a step in the right direction because they had started the season with home losses against Utah and USC as Steve Alford's trying to figure out the right combinations for his own team.
Yeah, New Mexico, real big game going on right now, and this is kind of a defining game. They have that loss at UTEP, playing 18th-ranked Auburn, and there's so many of these. The Roman Legends Classic, trying to avoid Julius Caesar's fate.
Trying to avoid the Julius Caesar and the Mark Antony brackets. Yeah. San Diego State, David, also had to a 5-0 start, picked up a win at San Diego, picked up a win over Long Island the other night. Getting some love, at least in our colleague Joby's J&G ratings, and the ESPN's SOR rating has them number 4 in the nation. And those are resume-based metrics, which are still a little bit more iffy, but even the predictive metrics have them top 30 in the Sagarins.
Oh, I'm big on this team, and I think that as their chances come, if we can pull up their profile, because I don't know what they got out of conference. So let's pull them up and okay.
Right. San Diego.
You're counting on my very poor typing skills here, so you understand that. Yeah. But they got Tennessee State, San Jose State, Cal Poly. Powerful games coming up, David.
Yeah, the game against Creighton might be their biggest one. Like, Utah, not very good. Colorado State, is that a conference game?
They have a couple of conference games in December because the conference tournament's a week
early. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Because of the tractor show.
Or whatever in Las Vegas.
It was. Like, we're going to have a consultant on hand for that one. But the rest of this league, I mean, there's three teams that in here that I kind of like or that I do like. I'll tell you how much I like New Mexico after this game's over. But then the rest of it, it's just blah. I mean, I know Nevada's kind of got it going in the right direction. Is there anything else to really be excited about among anyone?
I'm not excited. I think it is three teams, and the problem is that the rest of the league may pull those three teams down. I still think there's a shot at two bids. I don't see all three making the NCAA
tournament. Right. It's essentially three top 40 teams and a bunch of, like, Conference USA teams is what this league is.
John, our last conference for the night is going to be the West Coast Conference, where Gonzaga – again, I've almost said they've been kind of quiet so far this year. They haven't really played anybody of huge note yet. Yet there they are, 6-0, undefeated, and number 7, number 8 in the nation.
Gonzaga's been quiet, but I suppose even quieter would be San Francisco with 5 D1 wins. And even Portland has actually managed to win 4 of their first 5 D1 games. And considering a couple of those wins were against UC Davis and at crosstown rival Portland State, these are not games the Pilots have won in years past.
Yeah, I just haven't seen, David, I haven't seen any other wins of note out of this conference. I've seen St. Mary's with a couple with the one loss that they did beat Wisconsin. I'm very disappointed in BYU so far as well, though we'll see what they do out in Maui this week.
Yeah, BYU really needing to beat UCLA tonight, because if they don't, as you pointed out, it means most likely playing Chaminade and not really getting any chances at any real wins.
Well, they could have with Michigan State in the 7th place game. What are you talking about?
Right. Well, true. I mean, Michigan State is on that side of the bracket, so I guess they'll get at least one. I'm sorry, I just noticed that the score was 17-0 in the Stanford-Oklahoma game. I just happened to look at the television. Good grief. All right, I got sidetracked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the upcoming schedule here, Gonzaga starts their event. That they're in the battle for Atlantis, I believe, though they get Southern Miss in their bye game in the first round. But we should know a lot more about Gonzaga by the time we talk again next week, because they will have a couple of very good games in that event. Mm-hmm. I guess on that note, let's go ahead and pull this down here. And anything else we want to discuss here? Actually, I want to throw one other thing out here. The NCAA announced today that they're going to allow several conferences. There's 10 conferences that they're going to allow to use electronic devices during league games, either conference games or conference tournament games on the sidelines. That is, you know, have the tablets there with the stats and the stake. I guess previously they were not allowed to do any of that stuff. It's kind of and baseball, I guess they call it the sabermetrics. It's kind of that type of thing is now coming to basketball, David.
Do you
think that's a good idea?
Use it for what? I have
They're going to be allowed to use electronically transmitted data during the games.
Coaches. Yes. Yeah. I was going to say they have all that on the press row anyway, but now they can share that with the coaches.
They can share it with the coaches. They cannot use video. They cannot use any type of game video At least not on the men's side. The women's side have some limited video they're going to allow. But just the conferences real quick. The ACC is going to allow both in regular season and conference tournament. The American just in the conference tournaments. The A-10 both. Big 10 conference tournaments only. Big 12 will be only on the women's side. Conference USA regular season only. Metro Atlantic both. Mountain West, SEC, and the Sun Belt.
So in other words, they don't want the teams to pull Houston Astro type shenanigans, allegedly.
Well, I don't my opinion on it is, sure, why not? I do think that, like, you can be overly analytical when it comes to the quantitative stuff. I mean, eventually, like, at some point, you're actually going to have to make your own observations and decisions based on that and what's happening in the game. I mean, not that data can't help you, but I almost think that you can almost drown in it and it can be counterproductive. Like, if all you're doing is crunching numbers and whatnot, because – some of these advanced statistics, and I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. It's right. Like, you know, when it gets down to, like, we're 3 of 9 from the left side of the floor, but 2 of 8 on the right side, it's like, just, I think that you can worry too much about innocuous things.
Yeah, but David, here's what I do like about it. This would allow teams during the course of a game to do stuff like, check Hoops HD to yes. see where they rank in our in Joby's nitty gritty ratings. And yeah. even more important, when we get into especially the conference tournaments.
Oh, they can see where they are on the survival
board. They could check yes. out where they are on our NCAA tournament survival board. This is important stuff that teams need to know during games.
Yeah, during games, whether they're in, out. I mean, you know, like right now, I'm a little surprised that Joe Lenardi is not in his bunker going last four in, last four out. And like, yeah. But that is a good point, like, because while the committee can use all this stuff, the coaches really can't use it during the game.
But now they can.
But now they can. Yeah.
Now, if you're in your conference tournament game and it's halftime and you're wondering,
yeah.
wait a second, do we have a shot if we lose this game to make it? You can look on the Hoops HD and NCAA Tournament Survival Board and find out if you could still make it as an at-large bid.
Yeah, I mean, that is important. I did not think of that.
Okay. But let's go to final thoughts. Sleeka, let me start with you.
These are the kind of stats you could only get through a Ken Pomeroy's website, but we have to give a shout-out to a longtime official, Roger Ayers, who has also been in NCAA championship games. Apparently, through the first 20 days of the regular season, he has been to 20 different games that he has worked, including one last night that was in Las Vegas after making a cross-country flight. So congratulations on a job well done.
Well, here we go.
I don't know about well done, but a job often
done. On a job often done, yes. David, you want to finish out the show?
Yeah, and I know it's like this every year to some extent, but it's just amazing, like, the things that have happened over the last 3 weeks that – you know, during that first preseason bracket show that we never would have guessed. I don't think we ever would have thought that Virginia Tech would have done what they've done. I don't think we would have thought that we'd see an under-the-radar team win on the road against the number one ranked team. I don't think we ever would have thought Richmond would be in where they are and that Dayton would be where they are. And it's just kind of fun. That's why you play the games that even though it's early, there have already been a lot of surprises. And you know, it's just crazy. What would you have – like, had you even put Virginia Tech in your bracket, we would have thought you were insane. We do anyway. But that would have just been over the moon crazy at the time.
Well, they may be a 1C by year by David's next bracket for all we know. But
yeah, we're actually past that. Like Stalika's got the next one, and I think that starts the committee brackets. So –
oh, okay. Well, yeah. We'll find out. But anyhow, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We are going to be back a little bit early this week. I think we're going to be recording because of Thanksgiving. We're going to do a Under the Radar podcast Wednesday night, yeah. I believe. There's still a little bit up in the air on that. But I do want to take a chance to wish everybody, if you don't catch us for Under the Radar, wish everyone a happy and safe Thanksgiving. And, of course, the most important thing about Thanksgiving is watching
college basketball. Yes, the most important.
And on that note, thanks for joining us. On behalf of John Sleeka and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Have a great night, everybody.